And now he's not. So kind of what I get, I always think I'll go back to not doing that. So I want to start off this morning with a few questions. Today is just kind of, we're going to kind of lay a foundation. I'm going to do a whole lot of provoking. And yes, I do expect you to think about this throughout next week. And yes, I expect you to be here next Sunday for as we continue into this. But this morning I want to talk, I want to start off and ask, and this is just at random, whoever wants to answer this in whatever way you believe it. What is the gospel? If I was standing around and I heard a conversation and you were talking about the good news of the gospel, and the word gospel means good news. Okay? Good news. What is the good news? If I turned around just as a complete stranger and said, you keep talking about the gospel, what is that? What would you tell me? Not everybody all at once. Marilyn, what would you tell me? Okay. And I say, okay, what's the ingredients in that? What do you mean by that? Okay. So what is the good news? Okay. And don't be afraid. I'm not going to pick on anybody. I don't think there's going to be any wrong answers in this room, but okay. Set you free from what? Amen. Ben? Spread the gospel. What's the gospel?
The gospel is Jesus Christ.
Okay. Anybody else? Cindy, you raising your hand or just praising the Lord? Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Come on, it was all over there on that side of the room. Somebody over here? Suzanne, what's the gospel? Okay, so I'm a complete stranger, and if the gospel, the good news is love and hope and those things, then how do I get some of that? I want some of that. How do I get some of that? Okay. All right. Randy? Okay. Rita? How do I have that? Okay. I'm just kind of, if you notice, I'm kind of questioning, I'm challenging some of the answers. I'm not trying to be mean in any way, but it's like really when we talk about the gospel, what does that mean? You know what I mean? And sometimes I even had experience with people that are, and I believe they're saved and we're talking about it. And it's like, tell me about your salvation experience. What does it mean to be saved? And we don't know how to put it into words. I find a lot of people really don't know how to express that. So I'm not saying that any of these are wrong answers. So, Cody, what's the gospel? How do I have that connection with God the Father? Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to hear right there. Bruce, what's the gospel? Uh-huh. Amen. See, there's no wrong answers to it. Each one of us is going to have a personal what it means to us, or we should. We should be able to explain it. If somebody asks, we should be able to explain it in a way. First, when Bruce was talking, 2 Corinthians 4 came up in my mind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Paul is talking, verse 2, he says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor corrupting the word of God, but by the revelation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of men before God." Verse 3 says, "But even if our gospel is being hidden, it has been hidden in the ones perishing." And when it says our gospel, what's the good news to you? You know what I mean? It's a personal thing. Our gospel, even if our gospel is being hidden, what is my gospel? I share my testimony. I'll tell you what the good news is to me is he saved me from me. You know what I mean? And then going into it. But so many times, and where I was headed with this is so many times when we think of the gospel or the good news, we think of the gospel of salvation, don't we? And if somebody asks you, what do you mean? What's the gospel? We would turn around and start telling them, well, we're all sinners. Okay. That would be a common thing. We're all sinners and because of that, we're not in a good standing with God, and Jesus came and he died on the cross for us. And if you believe in Jesus, that he paid your punishment, and I'm kind of being a little rough with all that, but in some way we would want to tell them about the gospel of salvation. And this is how you just believe in Christ. He died for you on the cross, right? That's the gospel of salvation. And that has really become the gospel that the church as a whole has preached. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to go in a little different direction, and I want to know, and I want everybody to know that I am in no way, the gospel of salvation in Christ is a sacred message. In no way do I want to take anything away from that. Okay? Nothing can be taken away with it. Because if you don't have that, you don't have what I'm getting ready to go into right now anyway. But turn your Bible to Matthew 3. I'm sorry? I didn't hear that. God is love. That's the gospel, isn't it? And it's, we could go on and probably hit on some more things, and our minds are probably still going to continue to think about what is the gospel to us. And I'm glad it should. And I pray that this week you'll be thinking about that. Matthew 3. And we're going to jump around a few places this morning. Matthew 3, I'm going to begin in verse 1. It says, "And in those days John the Baptist arrives preaching in the deserted places of Judea, and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn near.'" He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near." Imagine, let's turn to Mark chapter 1 first. We're going to hit a couple different ones. Mark chapter 1, beginning of verse 1, says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Okay, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. "As it has been written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send forth my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John came baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for remission of sins." This is basically the gospel of salvation. it's repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's a baptism of repentance. So many times, the gospel of salvation, it is that place of repentance. It is that seeing it differently. Suddenly I find myself as a sinner and I need help. And all of a sudden I see the works differently. I turn away from my own works and I turn to the works of Christ on the cross, and he died for me. The repentance has happened. I've had a change of mind of how I view myself in light of the holiness of God. Make sense? Verse 5 of Mark chapter 1, it says, "And all of the Judean country and those of Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." So there is a response to the people when he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." The kingdom of heaven is near. When he says that, it means something to the people because there's a response to it. It's proclaiming to them the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the authority of God, his kingdom, his ultimate authority is near. And suddenly they're thinking about it in terms of, wait a minute, I'm not ready for that yet. We talked about this about a month ago. The message to them is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And they've got a response to it, because it would be like, it'd be like being at home and you're messing around, you're doing things you're not supposed to do when you're a kid, the house is a mess, and you're just watching TV, you're giving no thought to anything that's going on, and all of a sudden you realize mom and dad are getting ready to walk through the door, you hear the car pull up out front, and you start running around and picking up stuff. Anybody ever have that happen to them? All of a sudden, the person that you don't want home is coming home a little before you thought they were going to be there, and you're caught just kind of in the midst of it. That's what they were feeling. It was like, what do you mean the kingdom of heaven is at hand? What do you mean it's near? And all of a sudden they're faced with it. Well, wait a minute, I'm not ready for that yet. I just stole something this morning, or I've just been lying, or I haven't paid my tithes in a while. We want to get religious and the rules and all the stuff. It's like all of a sudden they're faced with it. And all of a sudden it's like, but wait a minute, I'm not ready for that. Wait a minute, what do I got to do? And it says, be baptized. This is the message that John is bringing. Okay? So in that repentance, all of a sudden they're faced with God's returning. What do you mean God's here? What do you mean the kingdom of heaven is near? Wait a minute, I'm not ready for that yet. And it says, okay, but you need to be baptized. Okay? So it gave them a sense of relief. Okay, now I'm ready for God to come now. I've been washed from my sins, so to speak. It was like it was an outward expression of it. I feel like I've done something. I've confessed my sins. But wait a minute, I'm not ready. I've got this. Now what do I got to do? And John's saying, you need to be baptized. It's the baptism of repentance. Okay? So there was an outward sign of what was going on inside them. They were identifying with it. Everybody follow me? I realize it's a little rough, but we're getting there. Aaron? Yeah. Yeah. And that is the message. He is here. And you didn't have time to clean up this morning, did you? You know what I mean? We didn't have time to clean up. And that also means that his presence here isn't dependent on you being cleaned up and ready, is it? Amen to that. So when you really take it into reality, it's like, well, wait a minute. There's a little grace shown this morning, huh? Amazing grace. I almost turned around and had Taylor start singing that song this morning. This is amazing grace. He's here. He's declared it. He spoke through somebody so that everybody would acknowledge, wait a minute, I'm here this morning. And you either don't want to think about that, or you just have to rest in his grace, because I don't know that any of us are really ready for Jesus to walk through the doors right now. There's probably a part of me that if he walked through the door right now, there's probably a part of me that would want to run out that door. But the bigger part of me would probably fall on my face and just be happy to run up and hug him. I mean, but the truth of it is, his presence is already here. How am I going to respond to that? Does it make sense? I have notes and don't even know why I have some of these notes. It all made sense when I made them. Well, Lord, do I walk away from these notes? Stay in Mark 1. And skip a few verses and come to verse 14. Okay, we know the story. John is baptizing. Jesus comes up about this time. Jesus needs to be baptized. Jesus is baptized, comes out, and the Spirit bears witness of him. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 1, it says, "And after John was given over, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom." And this is where what we really need to grab a hold of. This is the gospel. This is the good news that Jesus preached, was the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of heaven. John proclaimed the kingdom of heaven is near, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom. He says, "After John was given over, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time has been fulfilled and the kingdom of God draws near. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Believe in the good news. Repent. Change your thought pattern or your mind from, yeah, God's off in heaven and we're crying for him to come and we want him to come and fix things for us. And they were crying out, "Lord, come and restore the kingdom of Israel again. Make us a nation again. We're being oppressed by the Romans and all this stuff." Their thinking and their mindset was God's in a far off place and we're crying for him to come. And all of a sudden it's being proclaimed the kingdom of God is near. It's here right now. And then comes the panic. But wait a minute, I'm not as ready as I thought I was going to be. But Jesus comes preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God. And when we think about this, look at Luke chapter 4. I'm going to follow my notes here for a minute. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. We're going to start in. This is the same, kind of the same story. Jesus has been led out into the wilderness. He's baptized. He's led out into the wilderness to be tempted. He comes back. Okay. Verse 13 says, "And having finished every temptation, the devil departed from him until a time." Verse 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report went out through all the surrounding region about him. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all, and he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up. And as was his custom, he went in on the day of the Sabbath into the synagogue, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because of this he anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor ones. He has sent me to heal the ones being broken in heart, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to the blind ones to see again, to send away in freedom the ones being crushed, to preach an acceptable year of the Lord.' And rolling up the scroll, returning to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were looking intently on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears.' And all bore witness to him and marveled at his gracious words coming out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not the son of Joseph?' And he said to them, 'All you will speak this parable to me, physician, heal yourself. As many things as we heard were happening in Capernaum, do also here in your fatherland.' But he said, 'Truly I say to you that no prophet is acceptable in his fatherland. But on a truth I say to you, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up over 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came on all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to Zarephath of Sidon, to a woman, a widow. And many lepers were in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was made clean except Naaman the Syrian. And all were filled with anger, hearing these things in the synagogue. And rising up, they threw him outside the city, and they brought him up to the brink of the hill on which their city was built in order to throw him down. But he went away, passing through their midst, and he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath." What was he teaching them? The kingdom, the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom. This is the message that he preached. The part that jumps out at me, Matthew chapter 4, turn there real quick. It's like sword drills. Who can get there? My wife's there, verse 23. Oh, she's on her phone. She's looking at her Bible on her phone. That's cheating. I don't hear any. That's why you don't hear pages flipping in churches anymore, huh? Everybody's on their iPods or whatever it is and electronic. Matthew 4:23. says, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogues. I'll read this. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Well, I made a mess out of these notes. I'm back in Luke 4 again. You don't have to turn there real quick. I'll read it. Luke 4 says, and he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his doctrine because his word was with authority. And in the synagogue was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice saying, ah, what is it to us and to you, Jesus Nazarene? Did you come to destroy us? I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out from him. And throwing him into the midst, the demon came out from him, not harming him. And astonishment came on all, and they spoke with one another, saying, what word is this that he commands the unclean spirits with authority and power, and they come out? And a report about him went out into every place of the surrounding region, and rising up from the synagogue, he went into the house of Simon. The mother-in-law of Simon was being seized with great fever, and they asked him concerning her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And rising up instantly, she served them. And the sun setting, all, as many as had ones being sick with various diseases, brought them to him, and laying hands on each of them, he healed them. And also demons came out from many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And rebuking them, he did not allow them to speak, for they knew him to be the Christ. And day having come, going out, he went into a deserted place, and the crowds looked for him and came up to him and held him fast not to pass on from them. But the one Jesus said to them, also to the other cities, it is necessary for me to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God, because to this I was sent. And he was proclaiming in the synagogues of Galilee. The point in these scriptures that I want everyone to see is when we think about the gospel anymore, it's become the gospel of salvation. Jesus didn't come preaching the gospel of salvation. He came talking to the people about the kingdom of God. And it followed that message with signs and wonders. There was a demonstration of it every single time. And I have been in tears lately, desiring and crying out for God to see a demonstration of his power, because I look around and we're tired. Church as a whole, I look around here and see leaders that are tired. I know that I've been tired. I look at other churches and I see the leadership is tired. The people are tired, and we need it. Do you want it? I mean, I think about it. It's tired, even on a tired day, Aaron. If not just you, but if my wife got healed, would you find energy in that? Would that be like fire you up to just like, wait a minute, God is alive, the kingdom of God is here, and I've been talking about it and hearing about it and waiting for it for a long time, but it just happened. There's just been a demonstration and I'm seeing it. I saw that broken body come back to life again. Would that not fire you up? And I've been at that point realizing that's what we need. But what we've been missing is we don't have a kingdom mentality, and our message is get saved so you don't have to go to hell. And we totally miss the fact that the demonstration was to confirm that the kingdom of God is here right now. The kingdom is here, and he wants us to repent and believe into that and know that if we will preach the gospel of the kingdom, the signs and wonders will happen, because he wants people. What's the sign? The value isn't in the stop sign out on the corner, right? The value is in the lives that have stayed when people obey the sign. Right? We talked about this a couple months ago. The miracles are a sign of what? That the kingdom of God is here. But if we're not preaching the message, if we've watered it down and made it agree to these points and made it a very fundamental thing, you don't want to go to that nasty old hell at the end of your life, do you? If we make it just that, we're missing it. There's more to this thing called salvation. Salvation is absolutely necessary, because that's how you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. You've got to believe into that to partake of it, right? But the whole message is about the kingdom of God. And it is the message that Jesus preached. The whole time. Everything he taught. So in every red letter, if you've got red letter in your Bible, all the red letters, everything he's doing is preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is this. The kingdom of God is this. And I have looked, I'll tell you right now, some scriptures use kingdom of God, some use kingdom of heaven. I've heard one person teach that they're two different things. I'm not quite there yet. Okay? I think they're both the same thing. You can put them in place of each other. Actually, the interesting thing is kingdom of heaven is, I think that it is absolutely unique to the book of Matthew. And if you think about Matthew, the gospel of Matthew, Matthew is writing to the Jews, and the overall theme or message that it is proving that Jesus is the king, the son of David. That whole thing is after the kingship of David. They're proving the lineage of it. Everything is about that. It's his kingship. And the declaration in Matthew, more times than not, is the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is like this, or such is the kingdom of heaven. Okay. All the other ones, you get into Mark, Luke, all of them are, it's all kingdom of God. So I believe that they're one and the same. If you've heard teaching that they're different, I'm not quite there yet. I don't see enough proof of that you could say that they are different. They are different things. But Jesus came preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God, and he demonstrated it every single time. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Stephanie. Matthew 9:35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity of body among people." You don't have to turn. I'll just hit some of these real quick. Luke chapter 8, if you're writing notes. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, and it says, "And it happened afterwards, he traveled in every city and village, preaching and announcing the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Also certain women who were healed from evil spirits and infirmities, Mary having been called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out." See, every time that it's talking about him announcing the gospel or proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, there is a reference to a demonstration of it every time. Okay? And it's the same for us. I'm sorry, who said that? Proof in the pudding, that's right. But you've got to have the right message before there's going to be a sign to follow it, right? It's not to take away from the gospel of salvation. That's absolutely necessary, believing into Christ. But the message is the kingdom of heaven is here. God's rule and authority is here on earth. And sometimes we forget that. The response to that is when you start proclaiming to somebody that God's rule and his authority, his kingdom is right here on earth right now, that Jesus at the end of it said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." Something happened, right? If you go to Matthew, if you go to the temptation in the wilderness, the enemy, the devil leads him up to a very high mountain, representing government, leads him up to a high mountain and says, looks at all the kingdoms and it says, "All of this, I have authority, all of this, and I'll give it to you if you worship me." Jesus didn't tell him, "You don't have authority over all of this." Not at that point, did he? But at the end of it, at the end of his life, after the resurrection, he makes the declaration. He says, "All authority, every bit, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth." So something happened in that transition, in his life and in the death, burial, and resurrection. Authority was what? Taken away from the enemy, and Jesus has it all. Jesus has every bit of it. And now that authority is supposed to be expressed through his body. Right? Authority over illness. Authority over everything. Back to, restored back to just like Adam, who was placed in the garden, he was placed on earth, and he had dominion over everything. It's now restored in Christ. He restored it all. So that authority is now supposed to be expressed through the body. But if we've forgotten the message, there will be no demonstration of it, right? Because the message has to be right. And I think we get, again, not making light of it, and I realize it's necessary, but our focus has been the gospel of salvation and just getting people saved. And there are times when you go in and evangelize. But if you look at how they were evangelizing, they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Same thing. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. You'll get people's response the same way that the Jews responded. The kingdom of heaven is near. What do you mean the kingdom of heaven is near? You start telling people about the greatness of his kingdom and the goodness of God. Wouldn't you want to be a part of it? Wouldn't you get convicted and say, yeah, but I know I got some junk in my life that he's probably not going to want in his kingdom. Doesn't that open the door to be able to share the gospel of salvation and the good news of Jesus Christ? But if we're not walking in the kingdom, where's the true expression of the kingdom? We keep talking about it with no demonstration. Ouch. Crystal? Oh, we're at that spot.
Yeah.
I agree. We're standing at the threshold, and basically this is the message that changes everything. This is the series right here. This is either you respond to it, you recognize that the kingdom is there, and some will. And it's not about everybody doing the same things or measuring up to Pastor Mike or to Crystal or whatever it is. My question to each individual in here is, how are you going to respond to the message that the kingdom of God is right here, right now? And in Christ Jesus, you are a citizen. You are a member of it. And he wants you to walk in those same things. He wants you to demonstrate his kingdom. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Doesn't matter what happened this morning. God wants to use you, and he will be with you and express himself through you when you go to lunch today. Whatever it is. And it's not just a matter of praying at the meal so that everybody can see you praying over your food. Oh, there's a Christian over there praying over the meal. Not that we shouldn't do that. I'm not mocking it. Okay? But isn't the kingdom of God more than praying over a meal? And me, the first thing I watch myself, because I see these demonstrations in here of people getting healed and demons being cast out and all these things happening. And I forget that, wait a minute, there are some other things about the kingdom of God being in us. One of those being peace. Do we even express that in our life? Joy. Do we express that in our life? Do we really, the kingdom of God, scripture says the kingdom of God is in you. It is near. Kingdom of God is near. It's in you. Are you living it? Am I living it? Okay. That would be the one thing. I've got to question myself. Am I really living in the peace and the joy and the righteousness? Am I partaking of that and living in that place? And is it evident to other people? Is there a demonstration of it to other people? Sometimes. Suzanne? Demonstration. Okay? And the hard part, be careful with this, and I had to be careful too. I'm realizing that there isn't demonstration of the healings and the miracles and all of those things. But I want it. I believe in it. Okay? But it's challenging me to that place where I am. Lord, I absolutely have to have this. I'm not okay without it. I'm not okay. I need a demonstration of it. I need that. And it's okay for me to need that. Right? I need to be encouraged. I'm at the end of my rope. I've done everything I can. And I'm tired. Not of pastoring. I don't mean it like that. But I'm just life. Anybody tired? But I have to think. I think about it and just think, man, if I woke up in the morning and all the metal and the things that have happened to my wife, if all of a sudden she woke up and there's metal in her bed and she said, I don't have a mechanical heart valve anymore. How excited do you, I might run a few laps. I might run till I'm down to 2 fighting weight. I mean, I might just not stop running for the kingdom of God at that point, right? I need that. I need that. If my God in His kingdom, there is no illness and there is no sickness and there are no demons and I can tell those demons to go, then I need that. And I want that. And I will not stop till I have that. Because it is God expressing His love through me and into me. I want it. I want every bit of it. I pray that you guys do. Everybody's looking at me like, yeah, but you're nuts, Pastor Mike. I hear the testimonies of it. I want it. Cody, do you want it? Look at this. Matthew chapter 10. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to go fast. Matthew 10:5 says, Jesus sent these 12 out. Now He's sending others out. He sends the disciples out, charging them, saying, do not go into the way of the nations and do not go into a Samaritan city, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's very specific who He's sending them to. And He says, and going on, proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Heal feeble ones, cleanse lepers, raise dead ones, cast out demons. You freely receive, now freely give. Same message. Right? Tells them, go, preach. The kingdom of heaven is near, and demonstrate it for them. Didn't go preaching the gospel of salvation. Hadn't happened yet, for one. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. Luke chapter 9. Verse 1 through 6 says, and having called together His 12 disciples, He gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And He sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God. And to heal the ones being sick. And He said to them, take nothing for the way, neither staves nor money bags, nor bread nor silver, nor each to have 2 tunics. And into whatever house you enter, remain there and go out from there. And as many as may not receive you, going out from that city, even shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And going out, they passed through the villages, having announced the gospel and healing everywhere. Verse 10, skipping a few verses. This is when they come back and says, and having returned, the apostles told Him as many things as they did, and taking them, He went out privately to a deserted place, into a deserted place of a city called Bethsaida. Where am I at here? But knowing this, the crowds followed Him, and having received them, He spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and He cured the ones having need of healing. There it is again, the kingdom of God in demonstration. But the message has to be there. Luke 9, back there again, just further in 57, verse 57. And it happened as they were going in the way, one said to Him, I will follow you wherever you may go, Lord. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes. The foxes have holes and the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere He may lay His head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, allow me first to go to bury my father. But Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury the dead. But going out, you announce the kingdom of God. And also another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first allow me to take leave of the ones in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one putting his hand to the plow. I wonder if I ever heard that before. No one putting his hand to the plow and looking at the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Tells him, you announce the kingdom of God. Luke 10, right in front of me. He sends out the 70. And after these things, the Lord also appointed 70 others, and he sent them each by two before his face into every city and place, even to where he was about to come. Therefore he said to them, indeed the harvest is much, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send out workers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Do not carry a money bag, nor a provision bag, nor sandals, and greet no one by the way. And into whatever house you may enter, first say peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace is truly there, your peace shall rest on it. But if not so, it shall return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking the things shared by them. For the laborer is worthy of his wage. Do not move from house to house. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat the things set before you, and heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has drawn near to you. But into whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, going out into its streets, say, even the dust clinging to us out of your city, we shake off against you. Yet know this, that the kingdom of God has drawn near to you. The message is the kingdom of God. Let's see which one this is. Matthew 24. It says, in going out, Jesus left the temple, and his disciples came near to show him the buildings of the temple. But Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not will be left one stone on a stone which not will be thrown down, not one. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when all these things will be, and what is the sign of your coming and the completion of this age? And answering, Jesus said to them, see that you do not lead anyone astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will cause many to be led astray. But you are going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, do not be terrified. For all these things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will be raised up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and plagues and earthquakes against many places. But all these are the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will give you over to affliction, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And then many will be ensnared, and they will give over one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will raise up, and will cause many to err. And because lawlessness shall have been multiplied, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, this one will be kept safe. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations. And then will come the end. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the nations. We've made this separation of the gospel of salvation and not preach the gospel of the kingdom as a whole. This is what I'm seeing, what I feel like the Lord is showing me. The gospel of the kingdom. I've been saved for 17 years, and I don't know that I've really had anybody preach the gospel of the kingdom to me and share. They've shared salvation with me. I believe in Jesus Christ. But this whole thing of really teaching the kingdom and knowing that it's hand and being able to partake of that by faith right here, right now, when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this, we have a response. It gives you something to see differently. And in your circumstances, you can respond the way the world responds, or you can respond according to the rule of the kingdom of God. What are we going to do? If I want to partake of the kingdom of God, I have to respond according to the kingdom's ways, right? Everybody's looking at me like, you're losing it this morning. So everybody follow me. You can't do both. It's there. It's right here, right now. And if we want to see God, then we have to function in His kingdom. I can't do things according to the world like everyone else does and expect to see God to move in my circumstances. He's in His kingdom, is He not? That's where He's going to meet us. When I step out in faith and respond according to the gospel of the kingdom and the good news of the kingdom, I'm partaking of the kingdom and I'm saying, Lord, I don't have to defend myself because You're my King and You protect me. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to judge that kid that caused that in the church in South Carolina. They're walking it out right now. What's the kingdom of God? Forgiveness and love. And they're being merciful and gracious to him because who's their defender? God is. They could be shredding him right now. This is what happens in all the schools and all the stuff. And what happens, funny thing is the more bad things that happen, the more laws we start developing because we're going to handle it in a legal way and try to stop all of it. Doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work in the church and it's not working in the world because the flesh is weak. The law won't fix the heart of man, will it? But the response is, it's gun control and all of these things. That's not the answer. The answer is to love the young man. Unfortunately, had he been loved on with the love of God before, he might not have had some of the beliefs that he had. See how it starts changing it? But we've got to be the expression of it. Thank God they're giving that young man a true expression of the love of God and the love of Christ. Suzanne? It is. Yes.
Thank you. There's no barriers at all. There's no obstacles. There are two impossibilities of any
And the same principles you're talking about have come out in the principles that we've talked about already this morning in these same scriptures. He talks about going into the city and proclaiming the kingdom of God is here. He's talking about it. Even if they wouldn't have received that, it still changed the environment. I've been around men that aren't so nice when they're drunk, right? I've had conversations as a Christian, as a pastor, and be called in on something, and you sit down with them, and they're automatically defensive because now the pastor's there. And nobody wants to feel that conviction. Nobody wants to go through that. It is an uncomfortable feeling, right? Nobody wants to. And it's not that I said anything or did anything. It's just I've got pastor in front of my name, and they know it. So as soon as you walk into the room, all this conviction and condemnation hits them, and they're like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? I really don't have to say anything. It just happens. Yeah, try that on sometime. It's not real fun. But the whole environment changes when you walk into it, but I don't have to be aggressive or nasty about it. But they don't have to receive it. The truth of it is, they'll go get drunk somewhere else if they're just determined they're going to get drunk. But the environment and where you're at and around you and in the kingdom of God just changed, did it not? See what I mean? But where are you going to walk? If you walk in, husbands, wives, whatever it is, or friends or whatever, if you get mad and throw it out there and just defend yourself and tell them why you're mad without bringing Jesus into the whole thing, you'll get the fight. Right? Nobody cares about that. You've heard rumors. It's getting there. Yeah. We're all growing in that. And then the Holy Spirit says, the word says, don't worry about what you're going to say there. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. But we get caught up in the fear and all the stuff and think, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. Open your mouth and the things that are running through your mind that you're trying to find the courage to say, just let it out there. Watch what happens. And it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be eloquent. I mean, you could get puffed up in pride as a Christian and say, but I'm a Christian and this isn't happening in my house. And you're probably going to get a bunch of drunks going, yeah! Cheers! Right? If you come at it in a prideful way, I demand that you don't act like this anymore. What are they going to do? Right? I've been drunk before. Right? But if you approach it in love, like what you're talking about, if you approach it in love and just love them where they're at, you might get a whole lot farther in the whole thing. Right? Ben? Where's the boldness come from? The boldness will come when we choose to trust the Spirit in us. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But at a certain point, we just got to trust in what the... Oh, I heard that. I'm just sharing some of these are the things that have been stirring me, and I'm realizing, wait a minute, I don't even know that I've had the right message. We have, and I understand that. What I realized that in the last 7 years and the things that I taught really are all the little pieces that go together of the kingdom of God. That's where I feel like we're at that place. We're at that place where I feel like it's exciting to me, but believe me, it's a stretch, man. It's like challenging me and everything about it. This is the message. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And I feel like God has given us all the pieces. we've talked about all these little things, and all of them are getting ready to come together. I love that noise. That's okay. Shh. Everybody be quiet. I want to listen to the baby cry. Oh, she's mad. You know how she's feeling. Just by baby's cry, you know what they're doing, huh? She got what she wanted, too. Isn't that how we're supposed to go to God? Crying like that? Yeah, I've done that. And he does the same thing. Put a bottle in my mouth. Hair. One last thing I want to hit on. Acts chapter 1. The first three verses says, "Indeed, O Theophilus, I made the first report concerning all things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up, having given directions to the apostles whom he had chosen through the Holy Spirit, to whom he presented himself living after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them through 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God." So even in his resurrection, after he reveals himself in an infallible proof, meaning they're absolutely true, there is no fault in them at all, he reveals himself, there was no doubt that Jesus lives. And when he was with the disciples for those 40 days, the message never changed. He was still teaching them the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is near, and this is what the kingdom is like. Where we're headed with this at first is realizing we really don't even understand what kingdom is. I hope I just provoked this morning. Look up the definition of kingdom. I've been blown away just by looking at that and realizing how far I am from a kingdom mentality. Kingdom, if you look at that as a governing structure, as a governmental structure, the kingdom, the United Kingdom, England, if you look at the United Kingdom versus the United States, we've got a totally different government. They are a kingdom. The king or the queen, as it is, has all authority. They are sovereign. They have everything. Not so here, right? If you start looking at it, and we'll look at this a little bit closer, our government structure and our culture and democracy, the more I look at it, the more I realize that they are diametrically opposed. And I'm going to try to do it in a way where I don't ruffle your patriotism. Okay? And if I do that, the most important reason that I don't want to do that is we have men and women that have served our country that we have the freedom to gather right here this morning and next Sunday and talk about these very things. And I never want to step on that. People have died so that we have the freedom to do what we're doing right here. So it isn't, my heart is to do this in a way where we're not coming against that patriotism, but we've got to realize we have dual citizenship. Okay? Put it that way. We are citizens of the United States, and yes, we honor the laws and the things that are here. We may not agree with them, okay? But we live, this is where we live in this physical world, but we are also citizens of heaven. And the responsibility is to disciple the nations. It is to bring and to preach the kingdom of God to the nations. This is one of those nations. And we should be living, first and foremost, kingdom of God. Our government tells us that we have certain rights. In a kingdom, you don't have any. Think about that one. We don't have the rights. The king declares who you are and what you do, what you have. In a kingdom, there is no private property. The United States, we have private property. They even did I just lost the word again. What's the word I'm looking for? When they're still homesteading. It's your land. You know what I mean? It's like the thought of people owning their own land is one of the things that established the United States, that caused people to move across the United States. All of these sort of things. In a kingdom, you don't have anything. So if you're kingdom-minded, the car you drove here this morning, it's not yours. The house you live in, it's not yours. The chairs we're sitting on this morning, they're not ours. Huh? Yeah, but it's a whole different mindset on how you take care of something if you realize it's yours or whether it belongs to the king. Right? These are some of the things we're gonna hold democracy up to it, and not just democracy, but some of the other government types, communism, things like that. Hold them up to the kingdom of God and see the difference between a kingdom. We need a total, we're all raised, I think we talked about this last week, I don't know anybody in here that was raised in a kingdom like England or that, under that kind of government. We're all born and raised right here in the United States, and this, you have a voice, and this sense of entitlement is so ingrained into us that we try to express that in the kingdom of God and tell God what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, and it doesn't work that way in the kingdom. And until we come to that place of fearing God again and revering Him and recognizing that He's the King, we're really, you can't make God do anything. We don't have the right to. He's the King. But all of a sudden you find yourself in that place where you start honoring the King and being obedient in it, and the desires of your heart will change, and next thing you know, you're walking in that place of sonship and not slave. We're not slaves to the King. We're sons. We've learned that, right? There's the Constitution of the Kingdom of God. There's the Constitution. These are some of the things we're going to be looking at, and I probably should stop now because I'll just keep talking about it and thinking out loud at you, so I want to be careful with that. But this week, I hope you're provoked to really start thinking about some of these things, because that's the message that we really need to grab a hold of. We need to start understanding kingdom again. We need to get into a kingdom mindset. We need to start honoring the King and living that way. Amen. I see any other hands. Are we done? Mm-hmm. All right, let's stand this morning.